Most people are walking around and they don't know who they are. They don't know how valuable they are. People will repeat what they are rewarded for. I think we've got to be smarter than that now, knowing that we're employing millennials and Gen Z and a different generation.
Hey, smart, successful salon owner, welcome back to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, today in this episode, it's an absolute must listen if you feel like your team is burning out, maybe they're disengaged or they're just going through the motions. Because here's the truth, being able to recognize and fix your team's morale isn't just about vibes, it's also a profit strategy. I've invited Coach Joel, our go-to leadership and mindset strategist. He's inside the Salon Mastery program. He's head of the boardroom to unpack the real reason team's morale might be slipping in your salon. So today you're going to discover the three leadership languages to lift your team's confidence, their energy, and really give them a sense of purpose. So if you're tired of your team just surviving the busy season or any season, maybe even just surviving the slow season, and you're ready to lead your team that's motivated, inspired, and performing at their peak, even through those busy or low or lulls or unusual periods, then this is the episode for you.
Hey, salon owner, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Joel Bouzade, and I look after the boardroom inside of Salon Mastery at Salon Owners Collective. That's a whole lot of words. Basically, I look after our million-dollar-plus salon owners and help them to move from where they are, which is unique and different to every single one of you, to where they want to be. And that's such a privilege and an opportunity that I love and enjoy every single day. Today, I'd love to talk to you about lifting team morale. One of those topics that for many of us, it's kind of like, is that my job? Should that just happen if I recruit well? If it's not going well, then how would I know and who's responsible? And so I think a really good place for us to start is what actually is morale. And the way I like to describe it is it's the confidence, enthusiasm, and discipline of a person or a group like your team at a particular time. When I was growing up, we used to play a few video games, and one of those was a sports game called EA Rugby. And depending on how many games you've played, the rugby players would have a morale rating. So if they'd been playing well, they'd be up near 100 in terms of their morale rating, maybe like 95. You'd definitely want to pick that player. But if they had played poorly, then their morale would be down a little bit lower, maybe like 40 or 50%. And so I guess morale is something that can change. It can go up and it can go down. And part of our job is to make sure that that morale, that confidence, enthusiasm, and discipline of a particular person in your team or the entire team at this particular point in time is as high as possible. And if it's not very high, then we could run into some problems. One of those is that in the context of a very busy salon, and hopefully you are one of those, if not, you should definitely get in touch with us. We're very good at helping you to become extremely busy, is that in the context of being busy, when the morale is down, staff end up hanging on and they just get through the day. And if we're talking about like November, December, when typically business is even busier, there's more late nights, more people want to get in than ever before. If staff are hanging on, what can happen is that they arrive into the end of December before Christmas, or maybe it's June or February right now, and it's just busy full stop, and they metaphorically collapse. Like they get home at the end of the day, the week, the month, the year, and they're just like, "Badoof." And it's just like, you know, is it actually all worth it? I'm so busy. And this is often how the narrative or the psychology or the inner voice goes for people when they're super, super busy. And I think what that does is it raises the question for us is, well, what if we started to, as salon CEOs, lead staff morale? What if we got in the driver's seat and says, you know what, it's actually my job to do that? I think what starts to happen is that a team and individuals within that team that have high morale, they start to lean in. They lean in at the team meeting. They lean in when you say, hey guys, we've got a problem. They lean in when there's a shift or a change or an evolution or some sort of innovation within the salon. And I think that's really, really important that we understand that high staff morale makes change a lot easier. It also means that when they do go home at the end of the week, the month, the year, that they actually still have the energy to go and celebrate the day, the week, the month, the year, the identity that they have, the vocation that they've got. They have capacity still to be able to do that. And that will allow them to feel something that you know that is very important and you go into bat for all of the time, which is to feel in control. So I guess what I'm trying to articulate is that a staff member or a team that has high morale actually has more control, not just over their work, but in their life. And I think one of the mistakes that often happens for many of us is that an owner or a manager in the context of someone feeling under the pump is we respond with our historical resilience, which is, well, that's part and parcel of what it means to work here, or December's always like that. Or, you know, you think it's busy now, you should just wait and see. Or there's that kind of stoic response, which is like, suck it up, Sally, you know, or deal with it. You know, it's called hard work. And I think that that worked in the 90s. I think even in the early 2000s, it worked. But I think we've got to be smarter than that now, knowing that we're employing millennials and Gen Z and a different generation. I think we've got to be smarter and know that higher team morale is actually really, really useful. And if we can figure out how to influence that, how to lift that, how to raise that, then I think overall, what you're going to get is staff that are more on your page, and you won't be having to use pay rises or time off or, you know, jeopardizing the expectations that you have of staff to try and manage them and take care of them. You'll actually be able to do that via this thing that we call maintaining high staff team morale. And so one of the big ideas that I'd like to kind of, I guess, land today is that you actually want to write the story. You want to be the author of how it is and how it goes and what it means to be a member of your team. And I think that's really, really important that we don't let circumstances, their column, anything out there, scenarios, dictate their morale, that actually we're the driver of their morale. It's that proactive versus reactive. It's that leadership versus victimhood. And I think it's a really important part of lifting and maintaining high team morale. Typically, when we speak to our salon mastery owners about morale, there's five big ideas and work that we do in each of those areas so that they walk away from that training or workshop and feel really confident and clear around how to implement this particular strategy. So I'm gonna skim through those ideas. And then I just want to spend a little bit of time with you working on one area that you could maybe just lock into while you're listening to this. And maybe it might start to influence how you lead, manage, and run your team and your salon going forward. So the first one is that there needs to be an expectation. And part of that story is that you've got to look after the golden goose. So that's true for you, the salon owner. That's true for you, the salon manager, if you're a manager listening to this. But it's also true for the team members. And so one of the things that they do is we run a session around what that actually looks like. Like, people are responsible for their own mental health, well-being, and what I like to call self-management. And if everyone understands what it means to self-manage myself so that I can show up to workplace in a position to contribute and give into the culture, into what the clients need, it's just a great way to do work life. Like, it really is. It's the best way to do it. Otherwise, like I said, you've got a whole bunch of people that are hanging on. So number one expectation is that we look after the golden goose. I think the second thing is that team morale is really about inspiring and not creating desire. There's a philosopher, Naval, and he says, desire is a contract that we make with ourselves to be unhappy until something eventuates. And I'm a big believer in goals, and I'm a big believer in chasing after the few things that are most important to you. And if that means that you're going to be a little bit unhappy until you get there, I think that's part and parcel of growth, but not in every area of life. Like, you know, this cup of coffee's cold. Oh, man. Or this traffic is so slow. And our desires actually end up engineering high levels of unhappiness on the regular for things that aren't even that important. And so as someone that's in charge of fostering and creating really high levels of team morale, it's more about not when we do this, we'll achieve this. I think it's still important to have goals, but rather that you lead and engineer staff morale from a place of inspiration. And I'm going to talk more with you today on this podcast about how you do that. Another key piece of the puzzle is reminding the staff why. Like, I often use the very, very simple example that your apprentice needs to know why he or she is sweeping the floor. Now, back in the day, that didn't matter. Back in the day, we were grateful to have a job, to earn a wage, and to be able to use that to put food on the table and pay our bills. And it was case closed. And it's not how people choose where they work anymore. One of the major shifts in studies around the difference between Gen X and millennials, so millennials being 1980 born to the year 2000, Gen X being 1979 back to, I think it was to 1960. The major difference is, yes, they're all interested in making money. Yes, they're all interested in travel. Yes, they're all interested in all of the things. But the major difference is that millennials want to know why. They want purpose. They want you to be able to connect the dots between what it is that they're doing and the impact that that has. And if you don't facilitate that for them and they don't figure it out themselves, what you'll have is someone that's fulfilling an unpurposeful job. And therefore, with time, they will look to see if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, meaning that they might leave you because you failed to do what we already know is actually key to engaging millennials and Gen Z. And the other key piece of the puzzle around morale as well is something that we all know, and we talk about this a ton with everything in business, is that you've got to manage it. It's not just this soft, airy-fairy, fluffy-duffy idea or concept that doesn't actually make a difference. We actually know you can look at anything from high-performance sport right across the spectrum of performance, is that when someone, an athlete or an artist or a musician, has really high morale, they actually access way higher levels of efficiency. They get into flow and they really enjoy the work that they do. And so it's important that we do actually take the time to measure it, to figure out where we're at with our morale, and then to build out a bit of a game plan and have a few tools in our belt to be able to influence that morale. And most importantly, know how to lift the team morale. And so maybe a good question at this point in time is to ask yourself, like, for what reason would you like to lift staff morale? Like, if you knew how to do it, what would be the benefits of that? And I think if you can answer that, then the rest of this podcast is going to be pretty useful for you. And so let me talk a little bit about how you can really tactically start to get in the driver's seat around morale. I think that there's a couple of concepts that I want to land. And if I can do that, then I can give you the tangible takeaways. So when it comes to people, we've got to remember that for most people, they are very confused, they're unclear, and that actually they're actually quite scared about the future, especially in a world where things are changing so rapidly. And so when you know that the human brain is constantly trying to seek safety, constantly trying to find comfort, it actually becomes a lot easier to lead people. And I don't mean that in a manipulative way. I mean that in a, I'm really aware as a salon CEO and leader on how to look after, engage, and give my staff the best experience possible when they work for me. And so I think there's three areas that we want to focus on when it comes to directly impacting team morale. The first one is what we would call recognition. And when we give a staff member recognition, we want to give them recognition about a current happening, like something that's happened within the last 24 hours. It demonstrates and shows that you're across the good things that are happening in the business. But it also acknowledges performance or behavior that you want repeated in the business. So if you're thinking about three circles, the first circle is recognition about current performance and behavior. The second circle is what we would call reminders. And those reminders are going to be about the past performance that one of your staff members have demonstrated. And typically you want to remind people within 2 to 7 days, like the week of. If something happens on a Monday, by the end of the week, you want to be in that that state of reminding the person, which is different to the first circle, which is about recognition, about current behavior, which has happened within 24 hours. So we've got kind of like a couple of time domains, 24 hours within the week. And then the last circle is what we would call reinforcement. So this is reinforcing performance or behavior that has happened, that has had a positive impact, that has happened possibly even years ago, months ago, or even weeks ago. It's actually what we would call timeless. So first circle, recognition within the day. Second circle, reminders within the week. And then third circle, reinforcement are timeless. There's no specific time frame. And so if you're a salon CEO and you're really good at discerning performance and behavior, you're really good at setting expectation and pointing out what is not excellent and, you know, what our journey towards perfection looks like, and this is the way you do it, adding in some recognition, reminders, and reinforcement is what will take your leadership from what I would call good to great. And I think that's really, really important to understand that you want to be you want to have a good breadth of skills as a leader. I think it's good to have a style, but I think if you're only discerning, if you're only picking up on what could be made better, after a while, people will translate that to I'm not good enough. And over time, if they have job pressure or financial pressure or at home pressure, it makes it really, really easy for them to move on. And so a big part of morale is understanding that the voice of the salon CEO, that's you, the voice of the manager, becomes a critical part in actually enjoying and engaging in the work that we do. So let me talk you through some actual examples of what it might sound like for you to recognize, to reinforce, but also to remind as well.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community, and other million-dollar-plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary million-dollar strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
If you were in the salon and you noticed someone's consultation, instead of having that, well, yeah, of course, because that's exactly how I trained it, that's status quo. Instead of that, what we might want to do under the category of recognizing, which again is within that, like that day, within 24 hours, is actually grab that staff member when she has a break or a gap, or at the very least send them a message, because you couldn't speak to them directly and say, hey, that consultation that you delivered to Jenny or whoever it was absolutely flawless, energetic, and it was so on point. And what you're doing in that moment is you're reminding them of what they thought to be true as well. And when you validate their thoughts and their thoughts were positive about themselves, you start to build psyche, you start to build confidence. And that's what you want, right? You want a team of 4, 6, 8, 18, 28 staff members that are actually running on a real high level of confidence. And so something as simple as that, I think, could be a really good shift for some of us. Another example of recognizing, so again, in that 24-hour period, is maybe you run morning huddles. And in that morning huddle, let's just say you're at the Wednesday one, you could say something like, team, I just want to point out Jenny, who stayed an extra 3 minutes after her shift yesterday, and she took out the trash. This made the end of the day after she left 15 minutes faster. And I just wanted to say thank you, Jenny, for doing that last night. Again, it's recognizing that you saw in them behavioral performance that's actually really valued by the business. And I think that's the key thing about reminders, is we're not creating an environment whereby it has to be said every time. But when you're in there, one of the biggest things that you can do is mirror back the great performance that you're seeing, because people will repeat what they are rewarded for. And when we recognize people, we're actually rewarding them, particularly in this scenario at the morning huddle in front of the team. And then another way you can do the recognizing, again, in that 24-hour period, is let's just say it's a Thursday or a Friday and you're running a team meeting. Instead of actually telling what the moment was, because you're not always there to see it, you could even ask the team, hey, just take a couple of minutes, have a chat with the person beside you. What are some of the cherry on top, extra mile, above and beyond behaviors that you have noticed and from whom in the last 24 hours? And then everyone goes away, has a little bit of a chat, and then we just go around the circle. It's like, hey, and then they're pointing out how that person did that and that person did that. This, my friends, lifts team morale. It really does. And you'll be amazed at how that married in with high expectations, good levels of discernment, a real expectation around excellence, it actually makes you an incredible leader, and more importantly, lifts team morale. So that's how you can get in the driver's seat around recognizing your people in that 24-hour period. The second circle that we talked about is actually reminding, and we talked about this in the context of like kind of like a week, like 2 to 7 days. And when we're reminding people, the difference with recognizing and reminding is we're actually reminding people about their character, the character that sits underneath the thing that they did. When we're recognizing, we're quite in the details. We're like, that consultation was amazing. You taking out the trash, that was really valued, for example. Whereas when it comes to reminding, we really want to go a step further and we want to acknowledge the character trait. And that character trait is something that you need to speak to that, because most people are walking around and they don't know who they are. They don't know how valuable they are, and they don't know if they should stay where they are. And we can solve all of that identity crisis by actually speaking to the behaviors and the character that sits under those behaviors, so that they feel valued, they feel seen, and they feel heard. And so what would be an example of reminding someone about their character? It could be something as simple as this. Again, a one-on-one conversation, just in the privacy of, you know, walking to the back room in the salon, or maybe you're at reception in the clinic and there's no one else around. You know, Jenny, I remember when you were doing your finals for your qualification and how focused and prepared you were. And I just wanted to say, don't forget how well that served you. You know, like, you're not even talking about a specific scenario. You're actually reminding them of character that they have. Another example could be perhaps in front of the team, like in a morning huddle, for example. You could say something along the lines of, you know, last week on Friday, I was so bloody proud of how cohesive that we were as a team all day long. It makes me feel really inspired by who we are and what we're doing. And so what you're landing there is, as a team, you're speaking to the cohesiveness and the how you feel really, really inspired. Again, character traits that actually connect people to this thing called team. Another one could be in the scenario of maybe a team meeting. So you got the whole team there. You might speak to the whole team and you might be saying, hey, to watch you guys this week deal with the demand on our business, even when we're a couple of staff members down, is a testament to how resilient you all are. Again, you're laying in the words, the character that is obvious. It's so obvious, but most leaders don't go that extra mile and give those character traits the time and energy that they deserve. And the more that team members, that teams hear that they've been cohesive, that they were inspiring, that they were resilient this week, it makes them want to do it again. So no more of the, well, it's what I pay you for, it's status quo, you should just do that. And far more of that, this is what I'm seeing, whether it's recognizing specific behaviors or whether it's reminding your team or individuals of character that they have demonstrated in the last week. Okay, cool. Let's move on to what we would call reinforcing, and reinforcing the impact that they have had. And we the time domain for this is timeless. So as I said, it could be about something recent, or it could be about something in the past as well. So an example of this could be, if you're talking to a staff member, you might say, your client that you had earlier, Jenny, when she left, she said to me on the way out, she has never felt so looked after. And so let's aim to create more of that today. So you're kind of, I guess, reminding, reinforcing the impact that you had yesterday, and you're giving people permission to have that same impact again in the future. Another example, maybe in a morning huddle context, could be, you know, last night I actually got a call from one of our clients, or we had a bit of feedback show up on our Google review, or we got an email from a client and it said da 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 da. And I guess, you know, your people, they go to work and they implement the skills that you have trained them in, and it does have an impact. It impacts people at a level of confidence. People, when they leave your salon, spa, or clinic, they feel more fully expressed because they look good, so they naturally feel good. And I guess this last point about reinforcing impact is, you just want to give your staff the ability to feel that impact. Like, they get so numb to it, right? Like, they have, you know, 5-10 clients a day, and after a while they get numb to the impact that they're actually creating. And I think part of our job is to actually reinforce that impact to them, to share with them the feedback and the scene impact that you see. You know, did you notice that? Did you see how she left? Like, that's why we do what we do. Great job, Jemima, or whoever it is in your team. But again, it doesn't have to be something that you directively say to the team and point out. I think it's a good place to start. But also at a team meeting level, you could also ask questions again. What is the feeling that we want to create for our clients or guests when they walk out today? How do we want them to feel? And then the team's like feeding back. We want them to feel confident. We want them to feel elevated. We want them to feel energized. We want them to feel whatever it is. And just by having that conversation and your people going, that's how we want people to feel. And then the team member next to them going, yes, that's it. That's how we want them to feel. It's like you just bring people onto the same page. And then as sure as that happens, people are like, I did that. I contributed to that. I was a part of that. And that's what elevates team morale, is when we recognize the results that our people are producing, the behaviors that we're demonstrating, when we remind them of the character that it took to do the thing that they did, and then when we reinforce the impact that they're having on the guests, on the clients that they get to serve every single day. I think more than anything, I'd like to leave you with this, that whatever your salon is about, whatever your business is about, make no mistake that you have an impact on your clients, and it's an incredible impact. And that's why this industry is going to go from strength to strength to strength. Be absolutely sure that as you endure the days, the weeks, and the months that make up your team and your staff members' employment, make sure that you're writing the story. Make sure that you're part of the narration. Make sure that you are recognizing the results that they are creating every single day, that you are reminding them of the character that actually allowed them to get those results, and that you reinforce the impact that not only the individual stylists or therapists are having, but as a team, the impact that we're all having. I think if you do that, what you'll find is that your team morale will absolutely skyrocket.
And that's a wrap. I know this episode gave you some powerful insights into how to lead your team with intention and confidence. And if you're ready to become the kind of CEO who inspires loyalty, energy, and gets results from your team, and you want to build a profitable, high-performance culture, well then, my invitation to you is let's chat. You're very welcome to book a strategy call with me, and we're going to map out how to lift your salon out of overwhelm, where you are now, into momentum, money going up, team feeling happy. And let's see if Salon Mastery, maybe the 100K Accelerator, but maybe the Boardroom is the right fit for you to either reach or exceed your $1 million salon goals. Coach Joel is one of our powerhouse mentors inside of all of those programs, and you'll have him as well as other coaches and myself on your side when you join Salon Mastery. You don't have to figure this out alone. Business is lonely. Don't be alone. Let's get your team and your business thriving. And you're very welcome to book a call now. I have left the link in the show notes on whatever platform that you are listening to this from. In the notes attached to where you listen is the link to book a call. And otherwise, that's a wrap from me. Same time, same place next week on the podcast. Ciao for now.